Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
We are back in Revelation chapter 18 tonight. We're going to be looking at verses 4 and 5. And we're going to be on page 108 in the study guide. And as you're finding your place, we will kind of remember and think about for a few minutes where we have been in our study thus far. Last week we took a look at God's judgment, the pronouncement of judgment on Babylon. And this judgment was on a system that was commercially prosperous, very wealthy. It was a judgment that God had proclaimed on a political system that was very influential. There were people there that had a lot of impact all around the world. They were bringing people into this system. They were using the power and the authority of Satan to influence other governments. And everyone was coming together in just a very deceived way, in a very deceived fashion. And folks were lining up at the door, so to speak, wanting to get in, wanting to get involved. And God had proclaimed His judgment. Last week we read on Babylon, on the Babylon of Revelation. Well, tonight we're going to consider that line of thought and continue that line of thought. But we're going to look at something a little different. There is an opportunity tonight for judgment to be avoided for a few people, not for everyone. For a few people, there will be judgment avoided if they follow God's prescribed word. So I'm going to go into the Bible. I'm going to read Revelation chapter 18, verses 4 and 5 tonight. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached into heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquity." We want to focus on those two verses tonight as we consider for a little while judgment being avoided. Well, we see right off the bat that John says, "I heard another voice." Now that's something that's very interesting. John says he heard a voice. He's listening for the voice of God. Now there is something to be said for a person of God tonight, even in this day and age that we live in, that will listen for the voice of God. Whether it is coming from an angelic means like John had heard here, or whether it is coming from His Word. We, right off the bat, can get a picture and an impression that we have an opportunity to hear the voice of God and to hear it applied and have it applied into our lives so that we can take it and have it speak to us and that we can follow it and we can have the direction and the inspiration and the encouragement that John had, even though he was seeing some of the ugliest and some of the most devastating things that are on the face of the earth. John had an opportunity to be encouraged just by hearing the voice of God. Now he heard through an angel, through a messenger. And he heard something very specific. "Come out of her, my people." Come out of her, my people. God will call His own people to remove themselves from this world system. Now, that tells me that in this day and age, there were people still being saved. There are people that will be saved during the tribulation because God is calling them out. He is telling them to disassociate themselves with Babylon. He is telling them to get out of there. Bad things are getting ready to happen. Avoid the judgment and remove yourself. Now, it is also an opportunity for an evangelistic call. In other words, it is a call for God's elect to to get things right with Him. It is a call for God's elect, the saved in Christ, to get things right with Him and to share with other people the ability, the grace of God, the love of Jesus Christ. We see when He says, come out of her, my people, He is wanting others to know about Christ. He is wanting people saved. He is not wanting to destroy everything. He is not an angry and ugly God, but He is a God of truth. He is a God of righteousness. He is a God that does and will proclaim judgment on those who reject Him and who move away and who push Him away. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, we read that He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Paul says that Jesus has delivered us from the powers of darkness. That deliverance is a permanent deliverance. It's like we were talking about this morning, like I was preaching this morning. It is a permanent deliverance from the consequences of sin. Now that doesn't mean we don't have opportunity to grow. That doesn't mean we don't have an opportunity to develop. That doesn't mean we don't have a responsibility to grow in our knowledge and our understanding of God's Word. But we have been delivered. And when we have been delivered and God will say, come out of her, my people, He is telling the saved of Babylon to get out of town and to lead as many people as you can to come with you, to get as many people as you can saved, because trouble is coming. Whenever we look at the terrifying judgments of tribulation, we do realize from the midst of all of these judgments that we have seen, God's message has been preached and people have been saved. As I said, remember, there is the preaching of the 144,000 Jewish evangelists. There is the preaching of the two witnesses. And there is the angel that we read about in chapter 7, verse 9, that comes over and gives a testimony worldwide of all of the goodness of God, of all of the graces of God, of all of the mercies of God. But there is a ugly side that comes to this evangelistic movement as well. During this day and this age, Christians will be hated. Christians will be hated more so than they are today. Christians will be targeted. Christians will be hunted. Christians will be martyred when they refuse to take the mark of the beast. If we go back to chapter 13, verses 15 and 16, we read, and He had power to give life unto the image of the beast. And the image of the beast would speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Those who are saved and born again would know better. Their convictions would not allow them to do this. And they would become hunted. They would become targeted. They would become martyred because of it. Even though there is a great evangelistic effort and people are getting saved and people are becoming born again, they are also being killed and executed because of Jesus Christ, because of their faith. Not because they're a Baptist, not because they're a Methodist, not because they're a Catholic, not because of any of those things, but because of their faith in Jesus Christ. There will be you just heard it repeated there in chapter 13, verse 15 and 16. Those that would be required to worship the image of the beast and refuse to worship the image of the beast would be killed. Now that's coming in the future. We have to take that serious. We have to understand that the day and the hour that we live in is a day and is an hour in which we have the privilege and the opportunity before us to help get the gospel of Jesus Christ out into the world and lead people and plant the seeds of the gospel so that folks can get saved before this time happens. Do I believe the rapture of the church is coming on Saturday the 23rd? I have no idea. I'm not going to try to tell you that it is. I'm not going to try to tell you that it isn't. All I can tell you is this. When God looks up at Jesus Christ and He says, Son, go get your bride, Jesus is going to step out. He is going to split the eastern sky. He is going to gather His church, and we are going home. And when that happens, the tribulation begins. And when the tribulation begins, all of these judgments, all of these trials, all of these tribulations that we have read about up to this point begin happening. And they begin happening very quickly. Over a 7-year period, the earth goes from being what we think is a difficult place to live to being a place of misery. A place of misery. Those that survive, the Christians that survive and are not martyred, their lives will be miserable. They will struggle for food. They will struggle for medicine and health care. They will struggle for all of the necessities of life. Were it not for the promises of God to provide for those that He loves, they would starve to death and they would perish. But God promises to take care of and meet the needs of those who love Him and those that are called by Him and those that are saved by Him. And if He will meet their needs, as He has met the needs of many inside of His Word throughout the Gospel, He will meet your need and my need tonight. We all have needs. If we stop and if we think, we all have some things in our life that we have need of tonight. Do we have need? Is that need deep enough in our heart and deep enough in our life to call upon God with real faith, with real confidence that God is going to meet it? He will. God will meet it. And there's some very significant points that come out of what we're talking about tonight that reflect back into your life tonight and into my life tonight. When He calls people to go out of Babylon, it's not the first time that He's done this. Over in Isaiah chapter 48 verse 20, Isaiah tells the people to leave Babylon, flee from the Chaldeans. In Jeremiah chapter 50 and 51, Jeremiah tells the people the very same thing, to flee Babylon, to leave Babylon. When we are considering the New Testament, Paul in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 commands the believers to be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove that the will of God is that which is rich and acceptable and perfect in your life. If it is true that we are saved by grace through faith, then it is the will of God that's going to come out. And God is not going to have to tell us but once to leave. God's not going to have to tell us once but to flee. God's not going to have to tell us but one time that it's time to leave. It's time to walk away. We also know that God teaches us and tells us that we are not to be bound together with unbelievers. Now that's often talked about in a marriage context. But if you look at it in the reality of God's Word, the way it is written, and the way it applies in our life, it's all relationships that we have in life. That doesn't mean we are to be standoffish and rude. It doesn't mean that we are to be just pushing people out of the way. It doesn't mean that we are an us and them society. But there is a difference between the believer and the unbeliever. Just like this morning in this message I told you then, there is a difference between the Word and the world. The Word and the world cannot coexist. Believers and unbelievers cannot coexist. We may get along. We may go out of our way to be sociable. We may do everything that we can to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. But when it comes right down to where the rubber meets the road, believers and unbelievers cannot coexist because we are two different people. If we are a believer, we are saved by grace through faith. We are born again. If we are an unbeliever, then we are not and we do not have the Spirit of God dwelling within us. God cannot coexist with the spirit of unrighteousness. We are the temple of the living God. God said that Himself. We are His temple. He lives and He dwells in us on a daily basis. Well, I want to bring up something else about this, about getting out of Babylon. Do you remember the story in Genesis chapter 19 of Sodom and Gomorrah? God sent angels to Sodom and Gomorrah. And those angels told Lot to get out before you're caught up in God's judgment. Get out. That's the same thing. The angel here has came to John and has told John, get out. Come out of her, my people, and be not partakers of her sin. We also read where Lot and his family left with the angels. One order was given. Don't look back. Don't look back. We know Lot's wife did. She perished because of disobedience. She had to take one last look at Sodom. One last look at the world that had drawn her. One last look at the attraction that she found there. God tells John through these angels to leave and to get out of there and don't participate in their sins. Don't be drawn into that. Yes, I realize it is a futuristic event. It's something that's going to take place. But the lesson for you and I tonight is simple. It is this, that same lure, that lure of Sodom that drew Lot's wife, that lure of Babylon that is going to be drawing the children of God in this future time, in this future day, is the same lure of the world that we face today. When we close down the services tonight and when we move and we go on about our way, we are going to be faced with these realities of the world that we live in and the sin that is out there. And we're going to be looking at the thing, do I participate? Do I not participate? What do I do? How do I make these decisions? We make the decisions by falling back onto the Word of God. We ask God, what would He have us to do? Believers flee Babylon so that they will not participate in her sins. They flee to avoid the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 tells us a little bit about that. The same advice that we can heed tonight when we ask, how? How do I not participate? How do I not get involved? Is it something that God calls sin? Is it something that is going to take me away from serving God? Is it something that's going to stand in the way of my fellowship with God? Is it something that is going to stand in the way of my relationship with God? If the answer to that is yes, then stay away. Don't participate. Don't get involved in something that's going to get between you and God. Avoid it. Avoid it like it's Sodom. Avoid it like it's Babylon. Something else we see. We see that God's people must flee so that they do not receive of her plagues, her judgment. God wants to keep His people out of judgment's way. Some of the judgments that have taken place, everybody had to deal with. The saved and the unsaved. But these are judgments that God is getting ready to pour out upon Babylon, and he is wanting his people to avoid them. They are specific judgments. There are things that God does to the unsaved that he doesn't want his people involved in. And if we find ourselves involved in these type of judgments, if we find ourselves being involved in this type of punishment that God is giving and pouring out upon the unsaved and upon the wicked of this world, it's because we find ourselves involved in the wickedness of the world. If we go back to the how that I just talked about, and we put that to work in our life, we don't have to worry about the judgments because we're going to flee those circumstances. But one thing we must do tonight, and this is something we're all vulnerable. The world is moving at a very fast pace with technology like it is and with all of the temptations that are moving around there. We have to be careful. We have to constantly be careful in our lives about not making ourselves vulnerable. We can be tempted. We can be tempted through lust. We can be tempted through desire. We can be tempted through so many things. And before we know it, we may not plan on it. We may not intend it. But before we know it, we find ourselves falling. We find ourselves failing. And we find ourselves following in the worldly passions that are taking so many people to hell tonight. And in doing so, we may not be going to hell because of our salvation, but how many other people are following us down that road? If they're okay, they can live like that, then I can live like that and I will be okay. We being the temple of God, we carry with that the ability to have the influence of God in the lives of other people. Is it some type of a big burden to carry? No, it isn't. But it is something to embrace. It is something to embrace and give us an opportunity to love Jesus for everything that He is worth, for everything that He really is, to fall in love with Him tonight so that we can embrace Him and that we can be as close to Him as we possibly can. The truth and the blessed truth is that God says to believers that He will remember our sins no more. Because we're believers. That He will forgive our iniquity. He will forgive our sin. But for those who reject Him, for those that defy Him, for those that are unrepentant, for those that choose to follow Babylon, there is no repentance. There is no forgiveness. We as children of God tonight have the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. He will tell the people of this day to get out of Babylon, just like He told Lot to get out of Sodom. He's telling the church today to get out of the world. Get out of the world. Stay close to me. Jesus says, stay close to me. I have forgiven your sin. I will remember it no more. Don't go back out there and don't go getting back into that mess again. Stay away from it. And be that influence that leads other people to Jesus Christ. Be that influence that leads other people out of Babylon. That leads other people out of the world. That leads other people out of the circumstances and the situations that we see so many failing and falling into tonight. There are so many that are tied up in alcohol and drugs tonight. There are so many who are struggling with those addictions and everything that ties itself to them, with the stealing and the violence There are so many that are hurting tonight. All because they want to cling to a world system that is failing them and falling, taking them to hell in a massive way.